Remember, we are building on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Absolutely indispensable for restoring unity in so many confused and dismembered parts of the Catholic world today. The one great hope of the Holy Father that in countries like the United States, I'm not exaggerating, the Catholic Church will still survive. I repeat, I am not indulging in rhetoric, and I happen to be speaking in the one place in the United States which has a reputation in other countries as being the heart of the American Revolution in the Catholic Church. We better understand our faith, even to preserve our own faith, not to say, help to preserve and foster the faith of those, beginning with our own children, who so desperately depend on believers to keep their faith here in Jesus Christ. What the Catechism brings out in dealing with the second article of the Creed is our duty to teach Christ. Unlike the Roman or Tridentine Catechism, as it's called, published in the late 16th century, when, as we know, six whole nations were lost to Catholic unity. When one country alone, England, every single bishop, every one apostatized, pardon me, except John Fisher. Talk about a theological sense of humor. The Holy Father chose June the 22nd, the feast of John Fisher and Thomas More, to finally, as we say in Latin, tandem aliquando, to publish the long delayed, consciously and deliberately, English translation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. As I've been telling my classes and audiences over the years, no heresy ever, I don't say thrived, even survived, without the backing of bishops. Never, never. What the Catholic Church needs, my 24th year in working for the Holy See, what a safe statement. What the Catholic Church most needs is strong, believing, faithful, courageous bishops. That then is the first thing that is brought out by the Catechism in its dealing with the second article of the Creed. Our duty, your duty, not just mine, your duty, to teach Jesus Christ. Gone is the day when the church can depend on her bishops, priests, and religious to even preserve the faith. The laity of the present Pope keeps insisting, repeating, underlying, encircling the need for the laity to take positions of leadership, know the faith, understand the faith, live the faith, and spread the faith. We go on. I should see that I have 9 parts that I decided to choose from many pages of the Catechism's treatment of the second article of the Creed. Number 2. We are reminded by the Catechism of what the name Jesus means. The name Jesus means God saves. We know how the salvation implied in that name is salvation for heaven and from hell. Salvation in spite of our sins, my dear fellow sinners, that we do have the prospect and the sincere hope of reaching heaven, even we, but only because, as we believe, God became man. A more accurate theological term would be, God became a man. God did not become humanity. He became a single individual man with a human nature like our own, except for sin. Unless the name Jesus meant what we know it means, God saves. Everything we believe about Christianity would be so much airy piousity. We believe that God became man because man had sinned. We are totally speculating. We don't have a shred of proof that God would have become man had man not sinned. We know that man sinned. And if we have any doubt about others, as have no doubt about ourselves, sinners make retreats. Sinners, during the retreat, examine their consciences, admit their sinfulness, and beg for mercy. That's what a retreat is all about. That we, in spite of our sins, can, as we firmly trust, God then became a man in order that he, a man indeed, but a man whom we believe on faith is our God. Never find this in the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times or the Washington Post. Most of the martyrs of Christianity over the last 2,000 years have died because of their faith in Christ's divinity. As I keep repeating, in the 1950s, this century, over 2 million Catholics starved to death by the Muslims in the Sudan. All they would have had to do, and that's from the early 7th century to now the late 20th century, is deny that Isa, the Arabic name for Jesus, deny that Isa is Allah. That Jesus is God. The Quran tells the Muslims to do everything in their power to convert these idolaters, known as Christians. If they won't be converted, kill them. Kill them. Oh, what a dream world we can be living in. We go on. We believe that Jesus was born, as one passage in the Gospels after another tells us. He was born of the royal house of David. Why? Because the church that Christ founded is a kingdom. Every time I come across the word reign, R-E-I-G-N, in the Gospels, which I read, say, at Mass, sometimes it escapes me as I'm reading, but every chance I get, I always provide the correct name, Kingdom. Christ is King. The church is no democracy. And we Americans, no trivial matter this, we Americans, living in a politically democratic society, have got to keep telling ourselves, don't be a fool. The church is not a democracy. No wonder in 1966 the American hierarchy formed its own conference of bishops. No wonder. Independent of the Bishop of Rome. No wonder. Let's make sure we know what church we belong to. the church, of which Jesus Christ, the King, is the invisible head, and Christ, the vicar on earth, the Bishop of Rome, is the visible head. Number four. Not coincidentally, remember, in the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus took his apostles aside and asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And all kinds of answers. And all answers were wrong. So he finally asked them, "Well, and who do you say that I am?" Then Peter spoke up for the others. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter professed his faith in Christ's divinity. Hear it. It was because Peter professed his faith in Christ's divinity that Christ then, remember, promised to make him, that's Peter, the visible head on earth of the church that Christ was founding. What are we talking about? We are talking about faith in Christ's divinity. Everything else in Catholic Christianity depends on this single article of our Catholic belief that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. And because Jesus is the Son of God in human form, therefore, Christ, knowing what he was doing, was justified in giving Peter the right to exercise supreme jurisdiction over the church which Christ was founding. I was ordained in 1947. Only God knows the vicissitudes that God has put me through in all these intervening years. Let me share this with you. A Catholic was a bishop, priest, religious, or layperson is only as strong, not one iota stronger in his faith than he or she believes that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is the Son of the living God. And words are no substitute here for reality. In other words, Christ is God. There is no way that Christ's contemporaries in Palestine 2,000 years ago, no way they could verify Christ's divinity. They had to believe in it. Those who believed in Christ's divinity, they're the ones on whom Christianity was built. That was a foundation, that is a foundation. A diocese is only as strong as those who are in charge of that diocese believe in Christ's divinity. And of course, if they believe in Christ's divinity, they also believe that because Jesus is God, He can do such things as change bread and wine into His own living flesh and blood. Number five, I'm following the logic of the Catechism. I wish to emphasize that the Catechism is at great pains to bring out, first of all, the cardinal truths of our faith that we must believe. But then beyond that, not only what truths of faith we must believe, but as far as it is humanly possible to explain what these mysteries of our faith are, why they are crucially important here, why we believe in Christ's divinity. Says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it is Christ's resurrection from the dead, and then follow pages of in-depth analysis of Christ's resurrection from the dead as a crowning proof we have of Jesus being one in nature with the Father. In other words, throughout the Catechism, what the Church wants to bring out is that Jesus Christ has two natures. And let me tell you, we can never get away with not understanding the difference between nature and person. Never. If you don't know the difference between nature and person, you do not really understand the ABCs of the Incarnation. That Jesus Christ had and has two natures, a divine and human nature, but He is only one person, a divine person. So what do we mean then when we say that Jesus is true God and true man? He is true God because He has a truly, authentically divine nature. What makes God, God, Christ possesses. Moreover, Christ has an authentically human nature. What makes man man? Christ had. Christ was and is. He is man, unlike the rest of us who had both a human father and a human mother. Christ as we believe, had, watch this, only a human mother and not a human father. And precisely to bring out as lucidly as God can do it, the fact that Jesus, though truly human, was also uniquely God, who had only one natural father. Strange language, but our faith, the first person of the Holy Trinity. And as you read one book now after another, one pious article after another, you shake your heads. Does the author of this book or article profess to be a Catholic? Does this person believe that Christ has two natures, human and divine, and is only one person, a divine person? Then you have to conclude, no. No. And they are the ones are painfully well I know. They not only write books or articles, but have developed whole catechetical programs for the children. You may have seen the book bound appropriately in bright black. DOA, have you seen it? Dead on Arrival. It's all about this catechism on which we are basing this retreat. As far as many leaders in the catechetical establishment of the United States are concerned, the catechism is dead. Or as they say in New England, it is dead. And they are providing a decent burial. A large archdiocese, unnamed, long detailed program for catechizing the Catholics of that diocese. Page after page in shining print. You'd never guess. The Pope published the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you read with that large archdiocese, he is telling the people they are to learn. And there is one thing I hope to get across before this retreat is over. I want to wake you up. And my Vatican superiors, in charge of catechetics, are directing me to wake people up. Number 6. The Catechism of the Catholic Church makes a great deal of the title by which Jesus is identified consistently throughout the New Testament. He is identified as Lord. Kyrios in Greek, Dominus in Latin, Lord in English. From the dawn of Jewish history until the coming of Christ, the chosen people, reserved, uniquely reserved the word Lord for God. Very well. With the coming of Jesus Christ, they could not have chosen a more appropriate name than Lord. Lord, to speak of Jesus, because behind that title is locked